Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
All right, Scott, Anna, this is bonus time. We ran out of time during our liturgy conversation, and so we are going to just, we're making this for people who are watching online, on social media. We had this question come in about our Bible series, and it's a really, really deep, good question. And
Deborah from Des Moines writes,
we're not giving names. Deborah, so sorry.
Des Moines.
Deborah from Des Moines writes, I think we should just call everybody Deborah from Des Moines. I have a family member who is constantly wanting to debate issues whenever the Bible comes up. I often don't feel equipped to defend my positions and often get flustered in these conversations. What advice do you have to help me engage with this person?
Don't bother. No, I think that, like, I think part of what we have said in this series is that debate, conversation, wrestling in the text together is a positive thing. I think there's healthy debate, and I think there's unhealthy and unhelpful, and I think there's unhealthy debate. And in my experience, most people aren't interested in having healthy debate / conversation about the Bible. I shouldn't say most people, but I think it seems like most people just want to, like, reinforce their own position. Like, they're not listening to understand. Like, they're the kind that prefers, like, diatribe over dialogue, and the kind that's, like, more occupied with trying to accuse others and justifying themselves than they are, you know, trying to really ask questions and learn something new. I could spend all day talking to someone who is truly seeking, or even someone who has a different opinion. Like, if they're willing to have good, healthy conversation, I want to understand their opinion and their reason for thinking the way they do. But there's just a lot of people who are just trying to get their foot in the door. And then once it's open, they've got you in their line of fire. And that's just so uninteresting to me, to be honest.
Well, it feels oftentimes like they're trying to reverse engineer something. Like, they know the answer that they want.
Yeah, totally.
And they're trying to prove something, and they're trying to get back to it. What were you going to say, Anna?
So what is your feeling about, you know, you just know, like, oh, okay, I'm not walking into the fires of hell with you.
Yeah, if somebody says, what's your feeling about X, then it's like, I'm going to walk
I think for me, it's a simple question of, do they want to understand what I think, or do they want to win? And if they want to win, it's not a productive conversation. Like, it's better to just change the subject and move on. Or just, like, set a boundary. And if they won't listen to the boundary, then, you know, we've talked about boundaries in other conversations. And I think this is a really good time to just be like, I won't talk to you about that because, you know, I don't want to. You know, no is a complete sentence.
Totally.
And I think that's okay. That does not mean that you are not as smart as them, or not as good of a Christian as them, or not as, you know, it doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that that is not an emotionally healthy conversation to take part in, and you will not take part in it. And that's enough.
I mean, I think it's hard to debate with someone who is looking at the scriptures through an entirely different set of lenses and what the Bible is, why it exists, et cetera. You can't go anywhere with people who are just refusing to see it outside of their own. But I think another answer I would say is, like, how about this? If someone wants to debate scripture, how about we stick with the words of Jesus? Because if those are the most important words in the scripture, which I would say they are, I would say that you have to read the scriptures through Jesus. If you don't read the scriptures through Jesus, you're going to end up with something quite different. So I think, let's just focus on the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say about that? What was Jesus' life? What was his example? Not what did so-and-so say? What did that book in the Bible say? No, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? Let's look at Jesus, because that is where it is all pointing.
And also beyond that, I think even, because again, we talked earlier today about translations and all that, like, it is pretty easy. You can wedge your particular bend or theology even into the words of Jesus. I mean, you've seen people do this.
Yeah.
And I think that even within that, like, I think you're right, there's some safety in just going to the words of Jesus. But at that, there's still sometimes a narrative that's saying, well, Jesus is saying this. And they're walking in with this one perspective, being willing to go like, let's look at the bigger stories. Like let's look at the movement, the overall tone, the overall, like, it's like, look at the energy of Jesus. Look at the movement behind the person, like the human person of Jesus, and look at how God was being God through Jesus. Another interesting thing that just coming up for me is that this is, you know, fairly recent to me. I had a family member recently who thinks a little bit differently than I do about a certain issue type things, approached me with kind of a similar thing where, and they did it in a really healthy way. And they said, I know that sometimes like it's hard for me to express because, you know, they didn't want to get into the debate thing with me, which I appreciate because I'm like, I don't really want to get into the debate thing either. It's boring. Mm-hmm. And they said, I found this article really helpful. Would you take this and read it? And then take some time with it. And maybe you have something that you find inspiring about this same topic that I could read also. And then we can talk about it. And I really like that because what it did is it took some of the emotional resonance out of that sort of heightened emotional resonance out of sometimes when you have a conversation, I get it. And this person wrote that sometimes I get, you know, a little bit flustered and I don't know how to like have a conversation. Well, flustered is just an emotional state. You know, if you don't want your emotions to hijack you, give yourself and the other person a little bit of space and say, here's my thoughts, my opinions, like what I feel like, here's my honest, you know, or you know, article that I like or agree with, take it, allow it to sit with you and really read it and then respond, invite an actual response back. I feel like that, I really appreciated that. And I think that that's a pretty healthy model for having that kind of engagement.
Mm-hmm. I'm laughing because I'm reminded of a conversation I had with someone one time who, it was over whatever issue and they're like, you know, the more we talked, the more they talked, let me rephrase this, the more they talked, the more angry they were getting. And, you know, they kept saying things like, well, you know, it's a slippery slope. Okay. And da, 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 da. And they were getting so freaking angry. And I remember stopping and saying, okay, so I think we actually have a different issue here. So we're talking about an issue and the opinion of what does the Bible say about this? But maybe the better question is, why are you so angry right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening inside of you? Like, why can you not even talk about this topic without being mean? Why can you not talk about this topic in a kind way? There's something this is triggering in you. And so I think like that's more of an issue right now for you to take a look at. Mm. Needless to say, that was not response.
Well, and I was going to say, like, for me, one thing that really does help is to find that kind of common ground and noting like, wow, this just even saying it kind of like I do with my kids, you know, like, oh, you're having a big feeling right now. I wouldn't say that to an adult, but this really, I can tell this really matters.
I give you
to
permission
you.
To say that
can
to me.
Tell me why? You're having a big feeling right now, Benjamin. But just to say, to reflect that back to them, like I can tell this really matters to you. Why does this really matter to you? Because I know that for some people, they just want to win. Mm-hmm. Other people, like, especially those who are close to us, you know, like, parents and good friends and stuff, like if they're worried about your eternal salvation and they like that's a source of fear for them. Like,
of course it is. Like, dude,
you know, I can tell this really matters to you. Can you tell me why this matters to you? Why do you want to share this with me right now? And pulling them into that why and that kind of heart connection, because even if we disagree about so many things, like religiously, politically, just ideology, mostly we're going to agree. Like most human beings, we're going to agree that, you know, that life is precious and that love matters. Yes. And like, if we just come back to those things, like pull it down from like this intellectual, like, well, it's a logical fallacy, da, 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 and pull it down to like, why does this matter?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
How are we loving each other in this conversation? That is, I think, where the magic happens in terms of, you know, like the heart connection being open between the two of you and the, you know, true change. Even if you both walk away from that conversation, still thinking what you thought at the beginning, no actual like intellectual change, but change in your posture and your approach.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
I mean, it's the classic noting how Jesus approached everything. He was always looking at heart issues, not the external. Mm-hmm. And if we can keep that lens in focus, it feels right.
It's good. I think there's a lot of things we do that sucks the life out of the scriptures and takes this collection of writings and turns it into a lifeless collection of writings that it you know, and I want to read, is this a good time for me to read what I mentioned earlier? This,
the Brian Zahn.
Yeah. Brian Zahn is a pastor and author who I really like. He comes from a very Pentecostal background, as I do as well. And so there's a lot of, I just get a lot of where he's coming from. But he wrote a piece called It's a Story. No, I'm sorry. He wrote a piece called Reading the Bible Right. And I think this is actually a great way to sort of close out this whole conversation we've been having about the Bible. So I'm just going to read it, let it speak for itself. It's a little long, so we'll put the words up so you can follow along. He writes this. It's a story. We're telling news here, keeping alive an ancient epic. The grand narrative of paradise lost and paradise regained. The greatest once upon a time tale ever told. The beautiful story which moves relentlessly toward they lived happily ever after. Never, never, never forget that before it's anything else, it's a story. So let the story live and breathe, enthrall and enchant. Don't rip out its guts and leave it lifeless on the dissecting table. Don't make it something it's really not. A catalog of wished-for promises, an encyclopedia of God facts, a law journal of divine edicts, a how-to manual for do-it-yourselfers. Find the promises, learn the facts, heed the laws, live the lessons, but don't forget the story. Learn to read the book for what it is, God's great, big, wild, and wonderful surprise-ending love story. Let there be wonder, let there be mystery, let there be tragedy, let there be heartbreak, let there be suspense, let there be surprise. Let it be earthy and human, let it be celestial and divine. Let it be what it is, and don't try to make it perfect for where it's not. This fantastic story of creation and alienation, devastation, incarnation, salvation, restoration, with its cast of thousands, more Tolstoy novel than thousand-page sermon. It's a story because we are not saved by ideas, but by events. Here's a plot line for you: death, burial, and resurrection. Yet it's a story, not a plan, not ology or ism, but a story. And it's an amalgamated patchwork story told in mixed medium: narration, history, genealogy, prophecy, poetry, parable, song, sermon, dream, and vision, memoir, and letter. So understand the medium and don't try so hard to miss the point. Try to learn what matters and what doesn't. It's not where and when Job lived, but what Job learned. In his painful odyssey and poetic theodicy, it's not about how many cubits of water you need to put Everest under a flood, but why the world was so dirty that it needed such a big bath. Trying to find Noah's Ark instead of trying to rid the world of violence really is an exercise in missing the point. Speaking of missing the point, it's not did a snake talk, but what the freaking thing said, because even though I've never met a talking snake, I'm sure I've had serpentine thoughts crawl through my head. Literalism is a kind of escapism by which you move out of the crosshairs of the probing question, but parable and metaphor have a way of knocking us to the floor. Prose flattened literalism makes the story small, time confined and irrelevant, but poetry and allegory travel through time and space to get in our face. Inert facts are easy enough to set on the shelf, but the story well told will haunt you. Ah, the story well told. That's what is needed. It's time for the story to bust out of the cage and take the stage and demand a hearing once again. It's a story, I tell you, and if you allow the story to seep into your life so that the story begins to weave into your story, that's when, at last, my friend, you're reading the Bible right. Thank you, Brian Zahn. Well said, well written. Oh, we'll link to that so that you can, because I think it's one of those things that's good to read about four or five times, maybe.
I'm like so moved by just hearing it that I'm like, the biggest existential mic drop for the whole thing that we just right. did the last 10 weeks. So Brian, if you're happen to be listening or watching, thank you for giving those words. That is Yeah.
So good.
I'm going to have to read that again. So let it be. Let it be.
Amen. And amen.
All right. Thank you, friends, for being here and contributing from your whole heart.
Pleasure.
Peace. So good to be with you both.